3, Revelation 2 and 3. We'll finish this up, Lord willing, tonight, 2 and 3. The seven churches. And, I could stay in here for a long time and talk about it and preach about it. And you know, historically, it was seven churches in Asia Minor. And doctrinally, there's going to be seven churches of tribulation. How do you know it's going to be tribulation? Because there's some scriptures here that, brother, I'll tell you what, it only would fit right there in the tribulation period. And now, spiritually speaking, it's seven church periods a time. And there's two churches here that God doesn't tell them to repent. Everybody else, he tells them to repent. And two time periods, God says, he doesn't say nothing about repenting. Church of Smyrna. Well, here we are in Smyrna. It was named after the Bible. And a lot of the names of cities and places, Philadelphia, brotherly love. You wouldn't find a whole lot of brotherly love up there. But it's named and after the Bible, after what the Word of God teaches. And Christianity was rampant and powerful in Philadelphia at one time, 1700s. People were, you know, going out of the northern part, New England states, going south. Now, I went down and saw the church, the first independent Baptist church is down in North Carolina. I went in there and I just cried, man, walking in there. This is a log cabin sitting on blocks, or not even blocks, it's like big brick, not even bricks. It's stones that they found in the riverbed. And they put these log cabins up. I went in there and you could see where they took the axes and they were chopping, and it's still there. I put my hand on that thing and just, man, and said, oh God. And you know, it was a New Englander that went down and started that. You got the Southerners always saying, yeah, them Yankees. And my family, all Southerners. But it was a Northerner that came south to give them the gospel. It was a Northerner. And you know, we know God dwells in the sides of the North and all that. But, you know, this has been a battle going on back and forth with the South and the North always, and especially with preachers. And I'd give you, the preachers in the South are better preachers than the ones in the North. Guarantee you. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. You find that in Revelation chapter 1. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, that thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. And it said, fear none of the things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil, and this time period is between 150 and 313, and there's Christians being killed, burnt at the stake, being put in prison. Caesar is sending them to lions, and they're being killed, watching their children being killed, but they wouldn't deny the Lord. And I thought about myself. I thought, well, if I had watched my grandkids being taken and thrown in a pit, and they're lying, what would I do? And there was people in that time saying, don't deny him. Don't turn back on him. Harlan Popoff's wife would come and tell him, never deny the Lord. No, it was Richard Winbrand. I'm sorry. Richard Winbrand's wife would say, she would say, don't worry about us. Don't deny God. Don't ever. And we're living in a day and age where we want something immediately. We want relief immediately. We think we're really going through something. And those people went through hell. And they wouldn't deny the Lord in the middle of their suffering. And we're living in this day and age where people go through little things and they quit on God. They'll quit in a heartbeat. I thought, I'm going to live forever with these folks that watched their children being tortured and their husbands and wives and all that stuff. And they watched all that stuff. And we go through a little teeny thing down here, we're ready to throw in the towel. And we're going to live with them forever. And the Bible says, I'm trying to get through this. For fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Verse 10. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you in prison. And this is his future, that ye may be tried. Ye have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That crown of life is promised. There's five crowns. That crown of life is somebody to give their life and willing to die for Jesus Christ. And these people, these ISIS fighters and all, killing these Christians. They're not all Christians. A lot of them are Catholic. But there's some Christians being killed. People name the name of Christ. And there's Christians around this world, man, we don't know nothing about. We think, We think a lot of times we have these preachers come in. We think we have, you know, certain people in our area that, you know, they're going to be in the front of the line. We might be surprised. When we get to heaven, we're going to find out there's some people that went through stuff that brother nobody ever heard of, and they just didn't deny God, and they just served him. And we're going to find out some people really sacrificed. A lot of times we think the preacher's going to be ahead of the line. That ain't always so. They ain't, matter of fact, they'd probably be in the back of the line. The Bible says, Jesus said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And the last esteemed in the church. That's why it tells you about, you know, somebody that's less esteemed in the church, let them judge. Because a lot of times we put somebody up high, we'll put somebody way up here, and they're probably not going to be up there when they stand before God. A crown of life. There's a crown. There's a soul winner's crown. There's five crowns. And you can win them. You can win a crown. You want to die for the Lord, you get a crown of life. I mean, somebody break in your house and say, deny Jesus Christ or I'll kill you. Or they start torturing your family. My Lord, that'd be something. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. He said, you might die once, but you ain't going to die twice. That's why I show people, if you're not saved, you'll die twice. You have to be born twice to get into heaven. You don't baptize to get to heaven. You're not baptized to get to heaven. You have to ask Jesus Christ to save you. And I preach that at funerals. I said, if you're not saved, if you're not born twice, you'll die twice. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, go over to Revelation 20 real quick. Look at this. Look what it says. This is the second death. Revelation chapter 20, last verse. And it says, death and hell, verse 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, I'll tell you what, dying physically in this life, dying physically of cancer or whatever you have, people die of, they're saved, they'll never suffer again. But dying and going to hell for eternity, brother, ain't nothing in this world worth that. Amen. Nothing. Amen. Ain't nothing. I talked to the Coke man out here the other day for about an hour. We sat and talked. He was a saved guy. He said, well, I haven't been living for the Lord. I'm cussing and I'm doing this. I said, well, time for you to get right, man. Amen. It's time for you to get right with God. I said, Lord's coming back, man. Come on. Get your house in order. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So the second death, that's serious business. You think about people that you love being cast out. Second death. If you really love somebody, if you really love your family, you'll live for God in front of them, and you'll tell them and have a testimony behind it that might be able to win them to Jesus Christ. They see you, and they'll say, that guy is real. If you give them excuse, if you give them excuse the way you live, you give them excuse to die and go to hell, God's going to hold you accountable. Amen. He'll hold me accountable. He'll hold us accountable for it. You'll lose rewards, I believe. The Bible says, look to yourself that you lose not that which you have wrought. Look at verse 12. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos, right? These things saith he that hath the sharp sword with the two edges. We know that sharp sword is coming out of his mouth in Revelation chapter 19. It says he has a sharp sword. He just speaks the words, brother. Just speaks it. The Bible says he spoke the world in existence. He could just speak the word. He came out to the sea, said, peace be still. He just spoke the words, and it says he's got a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. We always say somebody that's got a smart mouth, they say, you got a sharp mouth. We always say that. But his sword is a two-edged, two-edged. And the Bible says this book right here we got in our hand is two-edged. Because when you preach it, you know what? When I preach the thing, it's cutting me too. When you're preaching it, it cuts you. And when you're preparing your messages, you're getting cut already. It's a two-edged sword. A lot of times you think the preacher just up there spewing off the mouth. You don't realize if he's done his work and done his homework, he's prepared himself and he's been cut. Amen. The word of God is a two-edged sword. It says to the angel of Pergamos that have two edges, he says, these things saith he, who's he? Jesus Christ, which hath the sharp sword with the two edges. I know thy works, thou art where thou dwelleth, even where Satan's seat is. That's this time period is between about 313 to 500 A.D. This is when the Roman Catholic Church gets started. The Roman Catholic Church, it was founded in 313 A.D., and it was a political thing. It's also religious. So he says, I'm where Satan's seat is. Satan's seat is a place the Bible describes. It describes it. on this earth, there's a place. It's over in Rome. It's Rome itself, because the Bible clearly tells you there's a place, there's a city that sits on seven mountains. There's only one place in the world, one place in the world that sits on seven, a city that sits on, as Rome. God just sent an earthquake over there. And people, you know, wonder, how come God sent an earthquake to the city of the church? No. There's going to be, you're going to see some more stuff happening. There's going to be more stuff. The Bible says don't be shaken in your mind over the stuff that's going to happen. We're going to see a lot more stuff happening. Don't be shaken in your mind. He says, verse 13, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. These are Christians that's in Rome. People having, and the Roman Empire is persecuting them. And they say that the Rome didn't persecute him after 313 A.D. That's a lie. They still persecute him. Even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. So does Satan have a seat? Does Satan have a dwelling place? Sure does. Satan's synagogue, he has a synagogue. And I believe a lot of these mosques and all that stuff, I believe that's where Satan dwells as well. He's right there. And there's some churches around this country, I believe the devil's using. And one of them is that Baptist church out there, that guy, they preach on the street and preach against people's the funerals and everything. Westboro Baptist. I believe that's where the devil used. They're all lawyers in there. They don't have really a church. They enjoy going out and, man, I guess getting lawsuits and whatever, trying to find a way around. They destroy the name of Christian, real Christians, and street preaching, make everybody think that you're from their church. As soon as they come up, they go, are you with Westboro? No, man, we're not. They're crazy. They're nuts. They're not trying to get nobody saved. They're trying to damn people to hell. That devil uses, you know what, that's what the devil uses, religion. Religion is the greatest tool the devil has. One of the greatest tools the devil has to destroy people and send them to hell is religion. And that's why we always tell people, hey, don't trust your religion. He said, verse 14, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, we've covered all this, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed on idols, to commit fornication. Who's committing fornication? And who's sacrificing idols? The Roman church. The Bible tells us that, take your Bible, look in Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Look at this. It said, can a person commit spiritual fornication? Sure can. When you don't worship the Lord and serve the Lord like you should as a Christian, and you go out and you serve anything else, other things, you're committing spiritual fornication. And look at verse 1. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And that whore is described. It's described in Revelation 17 and verse 9. And it tells you where she's sitting at. And it says, of whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made them drunk with the wine of her fornication. Every time I watch Obama having some kind of party in the Oval Office, or not the Oval Office, but in the White House, and anytime you see something in the White House, if they scan the room, you always see a Catholic priest standing there. Always. There's a Catholic priest assigned right to the White House. And right to the Congress, right to the Senate, there's Catholic priests. Why? The kings of the earth commit fornication with her. And anytime Fox News or any of these news channels, anytime they want to get a Christian's perspective, they bring Father so-and-so on there. They won't bring a Bible-believing preacher on there. No. If they do, they'll bring a black preacher on there that preaches social gospel. And he'll preach, you know, he won't tell them nothing. It's like Joel Osteen when he was on Larry King. And Larry King twice, he was on Larry King. And Larry King's a Jew. And he looked at Joel Osteen, he says, you mean if I don't believe like you believe, then I'm going to go to hell? And he said, oh no, Larry, oh no. There's many ways of salvation. He said that on Larry. You know what they are? Charlatans, that's right. Go back to Revelation. It says, so people, the guy said to me yesterday, he said, I don't like to go to a church that they preach about everybody else's religion. I don't like to go to a church where they talk about other people's religion. I said, I told him, my job is to warn people about the wolves. That's my job, is warn people about wolves out there trying to destroy them. So if I don't do my job, I'm supposed to be a crier and watcher. And the Bible tells me that I'm going to have to give account to God for watching over the sheep. I'm going to have to give account to God. I've had, I don't know how many times through the years I've had people come up to me. Let me tell you something. I think you're doing it all wrong. And you shouldn't be talking about other people's religion. You shouldn't be doing it. I say, man. I said, this way I'm supposed to do it. Yeah. Now, I don't have to be cruel and I don't have to be hateful. But I'll tell you what I'm supposed to. That's what I'm supposed to do. Look in Revelation chapter 2 and look at verse 13. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Even those days where Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Balaam taught the people to sin. And that's what we're seeing today. Balaam taught them to say, what you need to do is just intermingle with them. Intermingle. Don't talk about, you know. See, the Jews were forbidden. They were forbidden to marry a Gentile. They were forbidden. And God said, don't marry. Why? They'll drag you away from me. They'll drag you away. You know what Solomon does? God tells Solomon. God even told Moses, he said, when you have a king, don't multiply wives, don't multiply horses, don't do all that. What does David do? God allows it. He allows it. But he, you know, David had eight wives. Six. Wait a minute. I think eight. I'll have to count it later. I can't remember exactly. But Solomon comes along, his son, and his wise, supposed to be the wisest man ever lived. And Solomon has 700 wives and 300 concubines. And the Bible says in the end of his life, those women drew him away. So they were worshiping false gods. So Balaam said, hey, man, I'll tell you how you can destroy him. You destroy him from the inside out and let God do it. That's how the devil works. The devil says, hey, I'll tell you how to destroy Christianity. Get inside. I'll tell you how to destroy a man. Get in his heart. Get in a family. Destroy the family from the inside. Get the kids. Get the weaker vessel. Get them, and he'll destroy it. That's the way the devil works. And you got to be on guard as a man. You're not supposed to be ignorant of the devil's devices. As a pastor, I'm not supposed to be ignorant of the devil's devices. I'm supposed to know how he works. And he'll try to get you one way or the other. He'll try to get you so separated, so self-righteous that you're in sin because you're prideful that you're better than everybody else, like the Pharisee. And or he'll get you so low where you think, well, I'm just so wicked, I just don't deserve to go to God. I just can't do it. And there ain't no sense trying. It'll get you one way or the other. The devil's slick, man. And you got to be careful. You got to be real careful. You say, well, what's the sense of trying? If you say, God, help me, and help me to honor you through your word. I know I'm nothing. I know I deserve to be in hell. But God, help me. Help me to serve you. And Balaam taught him. He said, look what the Bible says. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. The devil's always trying to he's putting his foot out. Or the Bible talks about the devil puts little snares out there to get you trapped. He'll try to get you to step in a snare. And that's how the devil, you know, where young people marry the wrong person. They haven't prayed about it. They just, their eyes, they lust after them. Or they want this, and I got to have it. I want that person. I don't care if they're right with God or not. I don't care. And they got a snare. They got trapped. You got to be careful about that. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. So that's what Balaam told him. He said, go ahead. And God brought a judgment on him because of it. It says, to eat things sacrificed on idols, to commit fornication. So hast thou them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, things I hate. And then God says, repent. We talked about the doctrine of Nicolaitans before. He says, repent or else I'll come on you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. That's something coming. That's something coming. Don't you know the Antichrist is going to have the Roman Catholic Church And the Bible tells you he's going to end up destroying it, but he's going to have these priests in front of him as they, you know, they go out to battle and all that stuff. And he's been, the woman is in Revelation 17. To go back to Revelation 17 real quick. Look back at 17. This woman that the Bible says the kings of the earth have committed fornication with, and we, you know, fornication is when flesh joins flesh. They become one. Now, when a person gets married, they become one. That's not fornication. But outside of marriage, when flesh joins flesh, that's fornication. Outside of marriage. So what is adultery? Adultery is breaking of the marriage contract. You've made a vow to God and each other. You've committed fornication and committed adultery. And when you break that contract with your vow that you said, she's mine, I'm hers, and God has both of us, and you step out on your wife, and that's when flesh joins flesh. But a man can commit adultery in his mind, in his heart, by lusting after things. Fornication is when flesh comes to another strange flesh that's not yours. My wife and I have been married. She's my wife. I've never stepped down on her. She's never stepped down on me, as far as I know. We've never committed fornication. Or now you say, can a person commit adultery in their heart? Men have committed adultery in their heart. Look here. And he says, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, Revelation 17 and verse 3. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. That's the devil, the Antichrist. He said, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great. It's called Mystery Babylon. See, a lot of what the Roman Catholic Church try to say, they say Revelation's already passed. It's already gone. It's not future. That's already past, but this is future. It says, Mystery Babylon the Great. When John wrote this down, Mystery Babylon the Great, he says, the mother of harlots, abomination of the earth. I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints, with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. It wasn't Rome. If it was Rome, he saw Rome. He saw Rome. But this is something different. This is something wild. He said, man, I wondered with great admiration. He's seen what Rome did. I mean, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. He's seen what Rome, but he said, this woman, this I saw, she's got the blood of the saints, drunken with the blood of the saints. You know, they teach that when they take that cup, they say a hocus pocus over it. And then they bless it, and it turns into the blood of Jesus. Now, the Bible says we take the Lord's Supper as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup. We do show the Lord's death till he comes. It's symbolic. It's not literal. But the Roman Catholic Church teaches it's literal. And they drink it. That's their salvation. Blood. They're cannibals. Drinking blood. The Bible forbids to drink blood. Amen. Yeah. And it says, see, you don't realize how much we're so used to it. It's just like this, like language on TV. It's so long, before long, we're so used to it. Back in the 1950s, if they would have said what they say now on TV, everybody would have went, oh, cut it off. Amen. Don't let them have it. Now we're just so used to it. We watch movies and we see all that and they're saying all kinds of stuff. And we just used to it. Roman Catholic Church, well, we're used to it. That's the way the devil works. One step at a time. One step at a time. Take your morals away. If you watch it all the time, your morals will go away. He says, repent. Back in Revelation chapter 2, verse 16, we're going to have to stop. I thought we'd get through it, but let's finish up this church. Repent or else I'll come on to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. And we'll, you know what that hidden manna is? Somebody is running for their life, and somebody's getting fed with manna, just like the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. Somebody's getting manna in the wilderness again. It's going to come again. God's going to feed his children that's running for their lives. And they're going to go down to Moab. They're going to run down to Moab, and they're going to hide in the rocks when the Antichrist comes after them, the Jews. He's going to go and try to annihilate every Jew on the planet. You say, oh, that ain't going to happen. All the Arabs right now that's surrounding Israel, they're surrounded. And even European countries, they would annihilate the Jews if they could. Hitler tried. Hitler gave it a good shot. He gassed 6 million of them. You think, what in the world? What in the world, man? What in the world would cause a man hate a race of people that much that he wanted them all dead? What in the world would possess a man? That's how you know there's a devil. His general Goebbels is the one who came up to the gas chamber. He's the one that figured out, let's gas him. Hey, just get on the train. We'll be all right. Yeah, you'll be all right. And then they take their parts of their bodies and make soap out of them and make leather stuff, lampshades. And I'm thinking, man. And then you see on the streets of America every night, people just killing each other, hating each other, races hating each other. Our job is to love people. Amen. It's try to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man, that's our job. And you think, Hitler, man, hated these people so bad. The Roman Catholic Church say, well, he killed some priests too, because the priests were collaborating with the Christians and the Jews. So they said, let them die too, because they're traitors. So then the Roman Catholic Church said, well, we had some priests that Hitler killed, but they don't tell you that they signed an agreement. They don't tell you that they signed an agreement with the Third Reich saying, we're with you. Long as you allow us to be the only state religion, we'll allow you to be the only government we'll sponsor. And that's exactly what they did. That's a woman with a cup in her hand saying, go ahead and get them. Get them. They call her Mary. That's not the Mary that born Jesus Christ. That's not the same Mary. That's a devil. Amen. It's a devil. Look at here. God says, I'm going to feed you. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith on the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in a stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receive it. The Bible tells us in Zechariah, over in the Old Testament, Zephaniah, it says, what are the wounds in your hand? The Jews are finally going to realize Jesus Christ going. See, Revelation 19 is about him coming back when the Antichrist is annihilating the Jews. The Antichrist will probably kill 15 to 20 million Jews. When I said that about that guy, I said, you're a Jew, right? He's a messianic Jew. He's a saved Jew. But the Antichrist is going to kill between 15 and 20 million, maybe more. And it's going to be a very few that the Lord's going to come back in Revelation 19, and he's going to say, mount up, we're going back. And the world is going to be 200 million men in the Valley of Megiddo to fight against Jesus Christ and to fight against Israel to annihilate them. They hunt them down with dogs trying to find them to annihilate them, just like Hitler did. It's going to happen again. History, they say history always repeats itself. And boy, we're going to see something here in the near future. We got to stop right there. We'll get into this thing next time. Amen.